Financial Survival Network, helping you to survive and thrive in the new economy. Get our complimentary newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. This is the Financial Survival Network.
Financial Survival Network is presented to you by Regal Assets. Buy and sell physical gold and silver through your existing retirement plan 100% tax-free with Regal Assets. If you want to include physical gold or silver in your existing IRA or old 401k, request your free investment kit, which was recently featured in the Forbes and Smart Money Wall Street Journal magazines. Call toll-free 855-678-6620, 855-678-6620, or visit regalassets.com. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz on 1590 WPSL. Well, today it was a bloodbath in the gold market. Gold went down $84 the ounce. Silver went down $1.81, a day that'll live in infamy. We're talking about it with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. How are you, Mickey?
I'm well, Kerry. I don't know if it's we'll live in infamy. Let's put this into perspective here. Two or three years ago, 2011, we would be faced with $50 to $100 drops or rises in the price of gold on a weekly basis, and sometimes on it would happen in 1 hour. Pending Bernanke coming on to give the Federal Reserve report or whatever. So, the market has been very range-bound for a while and not very volatile. We see some volatility and people go chicken little, the sky is falling.
Yeah, well, if you're a small investor and you bought in at, say, 1800, or you bought silver in the 40s or low, mid-40s, you got to be concerned right now, right?
Well, I don't know why anybody be an investor in gold to begin with, so I probably don't have much sympathy for people like that. Gold is should not be speculated in. It should not be invested in. It's an insurance policy that should be hoarded, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I bought yesterday. At 1560, but I'm likely to turn around after this stabilizes a bit and buy some more. So, I don't sell my gold. Certainly the chart broke down today, but I think that was kind of predictable because we've seen weakness for some time. For the last year, certainly we've seen lower highs and we've seen five bounces off the 1550 level. So it seemed to me it was just a matter of time before it broke through on some negative news. And certainly the chart broke down completely today.
Yeah. When I said investor, I agree with you. Precious metals are an insurance policy against what you just wrote about today, the fact that every fiat monetary scheme ever known to man, no matter how elaborate, with computers, with everything, they all have one thing in common, and that is they fail, which means that the money in your pocket, the money in your bank account, eventually becomes worthless. And you mentioned two defaults in the past, two defaults in the past century that have happened to the U.S. where the government went bust, and why should this time be any different than the others?
Well, exactly, and it's actually two defaults since 1933, so that's 80 years. The U.S. has defaulted and had to go do some tricks in the gold market, take us initially off the gold standard in 1933, and then Nixon closed the gold window for other governments in 71. So those were two defaults by the U.S. government. Let's get back to what went on this week, and there was some negative news all week long. First off, Barrick announces that the Pascua-Lama project in Chile is on hold pending an environmental appeal. Then Draghi comes in and in a very draconian speech, says that he was going to have to force Cyprus to sell its gold reserves. But as it turns out, that looks like it's only going to be about 10 tons of gold. And that's only 311,000 ounces. So that's not particularly important. But then midweek, Goldman Sachs comes out and says short gold, that they're very bearish on gold and they're going to short gold. And then this morning was kind of the final straw. And that's when reports that are unconfirmed at this point, but that Merrill Lynch dumped 4 million ounces of gold on the market at COMEX Open. And if you look at what happened at COMEX Open, most of the day's drop was in the first 5 minutes of today. But what that didn't do then is it triggered a bunch of stop loss sells below 1525. And those stop loss sales even continued to the end of the day. I was sitting around watching the last 15 minutes on my Kitco Comcast or KCast. And gold dropped 10 bucks in the last 5 minutes of the day to end up at 1477 for a loss of 6% on the day.
Yeah, pretty impressive decline for one day. And obviously, the Goldman Sachs puts out the report. There's all sorts of negative reports coming out from the big brokerage houses all over the street for the past week or two. And here it is, self-fulfilling prophecy. It just needs a little spark, the situation set up, and then Cyprus gold, 100 tons coming on the market, and then nobody even cares the reality. It's only 10 tons. Cyprus denied they were selling any gold, and that kind of set the stage up for this decline pretty well.
Well, it certainly did in the psychology of the market. We know that people are motivated by fear, greed, and panic, and all those appear to have come in this week. You know, there is a psychological barrier, 1,500, and that certainly has to do with it. But this is buying opportunity and to accumulate gold. We haven't seen these levels since I last bought gold on July 1st of 2011, when it dropped below 1,500 for one day. And I was curious. I went and looked at prices for the last couple of years, and to the day, to the trading day, that is, this is a two-year low exactly. It hit this level on April 15th in 2011, and the next time the gold market opens, it will be on April 15th, 2013. Meanwhile, the big markets just keep puttering along. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 hit all-time highs this week. Looks to me like that we are just waiting for a market correction here. These things can sometimes go on for quite a while after I call for a correction, or anybody does. But a correction is coming, and it always seems that about sometime in May we're going to have some other European crisis that's going to set the markets off, and those corrections will come. Part of the deal too is that the dollar is up 5% over the year, and interestingly enough, silver, which is normally much more volatile than gold, was down only 3% on the day. That probably tells me right away that gold is probably a bit oversold right now. And meanwhile, platinum, palladium also down 3%, and our magical platinum to gold ratio is now at 1 again. Platinum closed the day a bit higher than gold did. The other thing I think that we should look forward to is some increased physical buying by the Chinese at these levels, perhaps the Indians too. On the negative side, the commercial traders are getting shorter gold, but the data I saw was from April 9th on the was the last date that data was published. So it's going to be interesting to see next week what's happening on the gold futures market.
Yeah. But the fact is, the underlying economics, the underlying fundamentals haven't changed. And that's what you really need to know. And that's why you need the insurance policy, because, you know, the system, it's not in good shape. It's no matter what the efforts of the financial leaders to project strength and stability, you and I both know that this thing is a house of cards, and it's one black swan away from finding its eventual bottom.
Well, that's true, and I wrote about this today, title of my latest musing, that I woke up on the day that the bank run was going to happen in Cyprus with an epiphany, and the epiphany was, if you keep your money with the banksters, they are laughing out loud. So I encourage everybody to if they're not subscribers, become a subscriber, and you'll get this thing right away. Otherwise, you're gonna have to wait for it. But the manipulation of the monetary system and the value of gold are very evident to me, and I would encourage everybody to read my latest and see if they agree with me, or they think it's just a maniacal musing, or a an inane idea, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, the point of it's interesting, because Mickey, you and I know people who are old who lived through the Depression. And how many people did you know who did not trust banks, who refused to put all of their funds in there because they said, you screwed me once, I lost all my money in these bank runs in the 30s, I'm not going to have it happen again. There were a lot of these people who really distrusted banks in the worst possible way. And now all those people are dead, and only people are alive now who believe, because throughout their life it's been true, that you don't lose money if you put it in a bank.
Well, you lose money constantly if you put it in a bank, and that's the point of my musing. Yeah. And my position is that number one, you should have a significant portion of your assets in physical gold, a minimum of 10%. I bought a bunch of gold yesterday. I'm well above that level. And the other point I would like to make is that you're losing money in the bank, not only because of devaluing of the currency, but they charge all these ridiculous fees for their right to use your money to loan out to people who more often than not now seem to be defaulting on their loans. And the fees they're charging, especially since 2008, are skyrocketing. So it seems to me you're better off buying a bunch of mattresses and sticking your cash in a mattress, where at least if there are problems with the banks, you still got the cash in hand.
Yeah, exactly. And those fees have just gone totally out of control. I mean, it's insane that for a bounce check fee, I've heard they're getting like $37 at some banks, and cost them nothing to process anything any longer, because it's all done imaged. No checks change hands. You know, at my bank now, you go to the ATM, you stick the checks in, it scans them right there, and the images get sent to your email, and they get sent to the other bank. It's transaction free, cost them nothing, and this is just a way for them to screw us. And when other banks open up, there's one bank in particular, TD Bank, I'll mention them because I like them. When they open up and they have very low fees or no fees, people flock to them, and they have hours. They're open 7 days a week, and you know, it's just a pleasure to do business with them. So there are a few banks, but the ultimate risk of having your money vaporize, like what happened with MF Global and like what happened to those people in Cyprus. You know, a lot of people, the inside guys, the insiders, got their money out. They knew it was coming down, and then it was just left for the suckers to get their money stolen. And that is the history of banking, isn't it?
Well, it is. It very much is. And it's been that way since time immemorial. You know, I'm not religious, but I have read the Bible, and you know about Jesus going in the temple and throwing the money changers out. The only probably recorded Bible anecdote of the man ever getting violent. Then there was the South Seas bubble in the 1700s, and the tulip bubble in the 1600s in the Netherlands. And you know what's happened with the banks post 2008? They have so many non-performing assets. They're actually liabilities. They call their bad debts, the euphemism, non-performing assets, but they're really liabilities, and they have so many bad debts that they can't make any money loaning money out anymore. And the quantitative easing, they've chosen to hang on to their cash and not loan it out. So the way they make money now is through fees. And it's not only bounce checks. I mean, I'm of the opinion if you bounce a check, you're probably not very responsible with your money. But it's things like ATM fees and foreign transaction fees and checks. Oh, yeah. The cost of checks, and these have all doubled or tripled or quadrupled since 2008. So the banks have gone to another business model, and that's making money off you on your fees. So to hell with the banks. Keep enough money in the bank to carry on your daily personal and business life, and keep the rest of it in your physical possession the same way as you do gold. That's my latest platform. That's my latest diatribe, my latest rant, and rest assured, I'm following my own advice.
Well, it sounds good, and you got a lot of places to bury it, which is great, and we'll talk to you again soon, but I guess the final word in this episode is do not panic. It's an opportunity to buy it at a discount that you haven't seen for several years.
Well, for 2 years anyway, and yes, it is a buying opportunity. If it goes lower, you just buy more.
Exactly. All right, Mickey. Hey, be well. We'll talk to you next week, and let's see what Monday brings. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to be watching the markets open here. The Eastern Asian markets here would open here, I think, around 5 p.m. on Sunday, and I'm going to be watching with bated breath to see what gold's going to do in Hong Kong at that period, at that time.
Yeah, we will see, but this definitely is ushering in a period of increased volatility, if nothing else. So there's ways to profit and put it aside and keep your insurance policy current. Pay those premiums, right?
That's right. Embrace volatility. That's my mantra.
All right, and don't forget mercenarygeologist.com, mercenarygeologist.fm, mercenarygeologist.asia if you speak or read Chinese, and Financial Survival Network got links to much of Mickey's work and a lot of our interviews. So we'll talk to you again, and let's keep our fingers crossed for Monday.
Okay, and don't forget my Twitter feed, 27,000 followers, and we have been very active on Twitter over the last 2 days. Yesterday, it was the Bitcoin bubble, and today it was the meltdown in gold. So I'd encourage everybody. We're communicating more and more via Twitter, and I would encourage everybody to take a look at Mercenary Geo.
Yeah, and we're at Kerry Lutz, KerryLutz. On that note, Mickey, till the end of the month, and we'll have the report on the postmortem of this whole thing.
I look very very much forward to that, Kerry.
Me too.